With that, thank you, Tim. So with that, let's move on to blocking and tackling. We're back to basics and talk about retirement application processing update. That's item 8. So I'm going to look to Mr. Hoppy. I see him on my screen. I think I see Gina, and I got Gail.
Right. Good morning. I believe Son is going to bring the presentation up on the main board.
There we are. We just started sharing.
All righty, great. This we're going to talk about this morning. First, good morning. I know you've been at it for a couple of hours, but we're going to be going through the retirement application process on how it currently takes place. Looking at slide number 2, is these are some of the recommended steps, tools, and information that are available. That's, you know, it's available to members to prepare them for retirement. And it's not just in some cases that it's only available to them at retirement. It may be available to them throughout their career. For example, the informational educational session is an online presentation that's available on Sisera's website. It provides a lot of good information overview on Sisera. For individuals that are getting closer to retirement, and it's normally targeted to within 5 years of retirement, we offer pre-retirement workshops. Previously, these were all done in person until remote due to the pandemic. We're currently running 9 sessions a year, and we pick up about 400 or so retirees or current members that are thinking about retirement attend these sessions. And during these sessions, they all receive estimates on a couple of predetermined dates that they provide to us. As well as if someone goes through the workshop, again, you know, 5 years is kind of a bit of time off. And if they don't want to attend another pre-retirement workshop, they can request a retirement estimate at any time. Normally, we'll do 2 estimates every year. What we'll see is somebody entering or getting close to retirement, they'll request an estimate anywhere from 6 months to 1 year before their retirement. And under number 4, we have staff available at all times to meet with members, whether it's by phone, Teams, email, to go through the retirement process, answer their questions, review what documents we may have, purchases that may be available to them that they may be thinking about taking advantage of. And then we also have an online benefits calculator. This is a great tool that's on Sisera's website, and it will actually allow the person to do kind of what-if scenarios. They can change their final average salary. They can adjust their service credit. If I stay another year, or if I leave a year earlier than what my estimate was prepared for, what does it look like? They can also adjust their retirement age. And then we have the annual benefit statements that are sent out each year to all active and vested deferred members and members that have established reciprocity. And those also give estimated monthly benefit amounts to the recipients. Moving to slide number 3. The retirement application and calculation process. The whole process starts on the once an application is received by Sisera. A member may submit an application up to 60 days prior to their date of retirement. At that time, there's a checklist that accompanies the application packet, and it lists out the documents that Sisera needs. So, you know, documents we're looking for, and some apply to both the retiree or the member, as well as their beneficiaries. And that can be the Social Security card, birth certificate or passports, marriage certificates if they're married, court orders for previous marriages to determine community property if there's a community property interest. And then if they have tier 2, will require a recent Social Security estimate or what their benefit amount is, because it impacts their calculation. We'll also go through, again, if they want to make an additional service credit purchase that may be available to them. In some cases, you know, this is not an option. In others, they just want, what difference does it make? If I spend so much money to make this purchase, how much does it add to my benefit? And go through various ways that they can pay for it. Since they're normally coming to the end of their career, or end of working, the funding is going to normally be made with a lump sum post-tax payment from the member, or a 457 transfer, and then it maintains pre-tax. And then if they are associated or have reciprocity, they have to retire concurrently. They have to retire on the same day to pick up the benefits of reciprocity. Before CESARA, or when CESARA starts the calculation, the employer submits the final active payroll information for the member. The county provides their file to CESARA 30 days following the payment date for the county and for the five employers. The county makes up approximately 90% of our membership. And as an example, July earnings, so someone retiring in July, their July earnings would be reported on the August 10th file, and that file is to provide it to CESARA on September 10th. It will take 5 to 10 days or so for that file to be scrubbed and processed and updated into the pension administration system.
Hey, Tim, a couple of questions.
Yes,
number
sir.
One, why do you need a Social Security estimate from Tier 2? Is that a separate entity, or why do we use that?
It's a requirement of Tier 2 that it's integrated with Social Security and has an offset, where Tier 3 has a fixed dollar amount, and it's really on Tier 1 and Tier 3, if you participate in Social Security, has a kind of a fixed offset that Social Security is not taken on a set dollar amount of your first contributions. But under Tier 2, in the calculation, when it was put in place, it was integrated through with Social Security. So Social Security does have a larger offset under Tier 2. And I realize that. Yeah, that can be, you know, one of, you know, when we're looking for information and I look back at, you know, prior months, like, you know, if I'm looking at June, I believe we have two open applications from June or three that we're missing or waiting for the Social Security estimate.
Okay. And now on the employee submits the final active payrolls using the county with PeopleSoft, you see that August 10th.
Correct.
Now, is that the final number that you can start using, or do you got to wait till you get the September 10th information, which is going to be the same?
Yeah, we will start with the information as soon as it is available on August 10th. But we do wait because the pension administration system needs to be updated to include all the contributions, as well as pick up if there are any adjustments that the county may make when they reconcile the file. But we do start with it as soon as it's available and start pulling that information. And again, if it's one of the other employers, we will start doing queries back to their HR department, asking them for information, so we can start the calculation moving it forward. But we do need it to update in the pension administration system, because at that time, the person is still viewed as an active member, and we want to make sure we have all the contributions.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. Retirement calculation process. In a nutshell, I mean, the retirement calculation, it can take 8 weeks after the final payroll is processed and paid. And again, we went through the example, you know, of July 31st is the date of retirement, August 10th is the last paycheck, CESARA is getting the file September 10th or so, it gets updated into the system. And so 8 weeks from that date is, you know, approximately October 5th. that we could have the calculation done. And that is under normal processing circumstances. Following the completion of the calculation, we will then have the retirement payment choice election form created for the upcoming retiree to complete. And they'll be provided with the options available to them. All members will receive an unmodified option as well as an option one. And then depending upon their beneficiaries, they could have an option two, an option three, and an option or an option four. But they're not provided with all of the options, only the ones that they're eligible for. And then once we get the form back from the member, the person will be put on the next off-cycle process that we have in place. So in the example where the person retired July 31st, we have the calculation done on October 5th. The option election goes out, comes back October 12th. The next scheduled date that we're running in an off-cycle right now is October 18th. We run 2 to 3 off-cycles each month.
And is that the same if somebody changes their option when they get it, the same amount of time to take, or does it take longer?
Well, normally, the only time that a member has the opportunity to change their option election, because we get the option election after we provide them all the numbers, is for a regular service retirement. Once they make their election, it's locked in.
Well, yeah, I understand that. But you say that when you process the application, you send them the option forms with the unmodified benefit. Now, if I wanted a different benefit, you would have to recalculate everything. Oh. And how long does that take?
Oh, I'm sorry, Louis. Maybe I wasn't clear. The option election form would include, for example, for a married individual, it would include the unmodified calculation and benefit amount for the member, and then the continuance for a spouse. It would include the option one, which provides the annuity reduction, which is a smaller reduction, right, and potentially a refund to the spouse. And we have, you know, if we have a spousal waiver, and then they would get an option two with 100% continuance.
So
they
would have that. Options, I'll have the amounts in it.
Yes.
And then,
So maybe I'm sorry if I wasn't clear on that. on slide 5, when we start looking at the retirement calculation on the current system, as you know, is was brought up, the retirement calculation process begins once the final active paycheck is processed by the employer and available to SACERA. So we're not waiting for the file to come in. We're pulling the information as soon as it is available in PeopleSoft, as well as information received through the employer records and employer information requests are used. And in some cases, that's, I'm going to say, non-county employers. We also go through and do a review of the members' career retirement record, go back and audit. This includes an audit of their service time and their contributions. In some cases, you know, we may find the first contribution, there was a timing issue and the employer did not take the first contribution when they started. We need to collect that contribution in order to eventually get them onto payroll. The same is true in some cases where individuals retire very early in a month, and their regular paycheck or their regular benefit for hours worked is not enough to cover their contributions. However, since they were getting a vacation cash out at the same time, their system will take the contribution and give them service credit, and that has to be backed out. And we'll refund them the contribution overage. And then a determination has to be determined on the highest 12 months or 36 months of final average salary, depending upon the member's tier. For example, as we were talking about the tier 2 and the Social Security offset, a retiree with tier 2 and tier 3 service will have to calculate and determine the highest 12-month period for the tier three calculation and the highest 36-month period for the tier two service. So high-level steps for the calculation. The retirement counselor calculates the unmodified retirement benefit. That's also what our online calculator calculates benefits at currently. A supervisor will review the calculation and all of the documents, making sure they're consistent. There's nothing unusual or may have slipped by. One thing we want to do is make sure the information is accurate and we're paying people correctly right out of the gate. The final calculation is then updated in the pension administration system. We'll update what our calculation is based on, overriding a number of items in the current system so it can do a calculation. We will also have at that point, the pension option choices are created by our administrative team. And those results are tied back to the pension administration system to ensure that they're the same. And, you know, there could be a penny or two difference in some cases, but in most cases, they match to the penny. And so we've got two systems calculating and cross-checking one another for accuracy. Steps two and three on the next slide. At that point, the member is received or provided with their option election packet. And again, it has the options that are available to them. So if we have somebody that does not have a spouse and they're naming, say, two children or have multiple beneficiaries, instead of getting an option two, they'll get an option four election, which provides for multiple beneficiaries. The member selects their payment option, returns the form to Sisera. When Sisera receives the form in our office, we'll put them on the next off-cycle process. And currently, we're doing off-cycles 2 to 3 times per month, depending upon volume. I mean, we've had a month or two where we've done 4 in a month. Okay, the next slide. You know, what can affect the timing of the payment and the processing of the application? You know, there's 4 parties involved when we go through this calculation. And the first is the member. Once the member puts their application in, it's getting the documents we need to complete it, whether it's like, hey, we've talked about the Social Security estimate, but it's the Social Security cards, the birth certificates, marriage certificates. In some cases, the members do not have access or immediate access to that information and they have to request it. We will contact them and keep reminding them as they're in the queue to be calculated that we need the information. We need it on the member and on their beneficiary because that information is also used in the actuarial calculations for the other options. It doesn't impact the unmodified calculation, but it does impact the calculation done on the other options when you look at the age of the beneficiary and the impact it will have on the calculation. In some cases, we also will send out the option election form and they don't return it quickly. You know, sometimes there's timing issues for one thing or another. As we send the option election forms out, if they're not coming back, because I mean, our objective is to get individuals on payroll as quickly as we can, accurately and timely. We're in contact with them. We're doing outreach. And in a lot of cases, they have other things going on or they want to meet with a financial advisor. And some of these forms, currently, since we've been in the pandemic, I'd say the turnaround time has been very quick as opposed to previously where it could run a couple of weeks. I believe the prior board meeting, when you went through the consent items, there were a few forms that were held for a couple of months before they were turned in. So that's on the member side. The employer side, it's submitting the final active payroll information, you know, the timing of it. You know, we're looking at before it comes in and gets into our pension administration system, you know, anywhere from say 30 to 40 days before the system's updated. So, you know, we work around that by getting information up front, but we still need it to process.
And hey, so, Tim.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just looking at the clock in the interest of time. Maybe focus ahead on the steps we currently take to shorten the timeline.
Yeah.
I realize I'm suggesting you maybe gloss over or skip some of what's in the packet, but you know, we've all been through it. So maybe
kind
of look at cutting to the chase a little bit, just in the interest of time. I'm not trying to change your presentation, but that's a thought.
No problem at all. Okay, steps that we're currently taking to shorten the period. The processing timeline. We're encouraging members to provide the recommended documentation prior to retirement. We remind them, you know, workshops, newsletters, in the handbook, our website, when we do in-person counseling, the counseling rooms, we have lobby signage, but also within the counseling rooms, a documents needed flyer, which will also be inserted with the estimate communication. We run approximately 50% of our applications when received, or when it comes time to when we can start the calculation, we're missing some form of required documentation. So we're hoping to cut that off by taking more active measures. The other one is reviewing the completeness of application information when it's submitted upon receipt and immediately notifying the applicant, hey, we need this information, getting it, you know, getting those questions to them earlier, because if they are submitting it 60 days in advance, you know, and then we put on another 10 days for payroll, they could have 70 days to get us documents before we can even start the calculation. As well as providing, again, more written and verbal communication on outstanding items as we're in the process and the completion of the option election form. And what we also are, again, as we've talked about, attaining payroll information from the source prior to receiving and posting the county's payroll file to the pension administration system. You know, so things are happening and moving, as well as doing outreach. At times, some of the individuals, when the payroll processes, they have some questionable payroll transactions that may require additional research. There's one pay code that's used pretty consistently called adjustment, and it comes across as pensionable. The dollar amounts can vary. As well as the time frame. Say there was a pay adjustment that should have taken place 3 years ago, and they're doing a three-year retroactive pay adjustment. Well, we need that information because if it's, you know, we're trying to do a 12-month final average salary, we have to know what it's for and what period it's covering so we can properly calculate the final average salary, or even if the item is pensionable or not.
Okay.
And then recent workflow changes. And a lot of this is, I would say, from early July, that we've had three new retirement counselors join the team. And this is on the active side. As far as a delegation of duties, once we had the staff, we made three retirement counselors were assigned as their primary responsibility is processing retirement applications and doing the final calculations. What that did is took other distractions that were coming into them away from them so they can solely focus on calculating and turning around applications. One retirement counselor was assigned to do intake of applications. Kind of what we're talking about is the application complete? Is the member even eligible to retire? We do get applications and they aren't eligible to retire or on the date provided, going through the documentation and then sending related communications to secure the missing information sooner. And then we have three retirement counselors because we can't forget about our active membership. We have three retirement counselors focused on supporting active members. You know, those are inquiries coming in and requests such as estimates, purchases, and so forth. And so those are being responded to timely. And currently we also have two temporary employees and one of the new counselors that joined the team in training. The one new retirement counselor just transitioned up to supporting active members just this week. So now we'll have four counselors supporting active members. And then we'll have one technician that is supporting the pre-retirement workshops. Each workshop probably, you know, we do anywhere from 90 to 100 estimates for each workshop. And then we currently have two open counselor positions that we're working on still filling.
How's that going on the recruitment?
The last recruitment that we did, we actually, you know, based upon the job title of retirement counselor, we did not appear or do not appear to be securing maybe the right talent that we're looking for. When they did an office specialist posting, I'm going to say 2 or 3 months ago, we went through the office specialist applicants and secured talented individuals from that population. The office specialist is a more generic posting, and you pick up a lot of individuals with different talent, backgrounds, experiences.
Interesting. Yeah. Yeah. Live and learn.
Yeah. Yeah. Except we picked up two great people.
Yeah. That's
through
great.
The process, which is wonderful.
The training process is how long for a counselor?
Well, you know, it really depends. For example, I have one of my retiree, again, it's kind of musical chairs. One of my retiree counselors moved over to active counselor in the June timeframe. I expect her to be doing finals by the end of the year. And so we'll have her on board to do finals come January. So we're shortening it and targeting 6 months. I mean, that's the right individual, the right background, right aptitude, and they grab it. And again, they have to meet our standards too.
And I take it if, say, a counselor comes, say, from Sacramento, who's been a counselor for a couple of years, I would think that training learning curve would be a lot shorter.
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, as you can imagine, you know, we're starting, you know, like at the ground floor with some individuals on what a defined benefit plan is to individuals coming in, which we were fortunate over the last couple of years to bring two individuals in that are now both senior counselors with us that had a defined benefit background or some knowledge and experience working in defined benefit plans. Okay, which is real beneficial. They moved from being a retirement counselor, kind of the first step, to a senior counselor at 2 years.
All right.
One may have been a little bit earlier, but not significantly. Next steps for 2023, we're assessing our staffing and resource needs. An internal work group has been formed to explore options to improve retirement application processing. And then a consultant has been engaged to assist with re-engineering the retirement application process. And then on the final screen, or slide, you'll note, I mean, it's not that, you know, in 2022, I mean, yeah, we were slammed with a lot of applications. But looking at it, and it's kind of evident in the numbers, through September 30th, 446 retirement applications have been processed and have been put on payroll. We still have other applications that were submitted, and we haven't gotten the options back, but the calculations are done. But this compares to the same period in 2021 of 342 were processed and 258 in 2020. So a lot of activity. This is probably the highest number we've had during the first 9 months of a year. And then during, you know, again, we've talked about this during the, you know, based upon the increased number of applications that came in, not just the first quarter, but it would be the last 2 months of last year and first 3 months of this year, retirement application processing was taking up to 16 weeks to complete in some situations. The average processing was more in the 12 to 14 week period, but some were taking up to 16 weeks. And currently, retirement application processing, and now this is the application and getting it through the calculation, options going out is running in the 8 to 10 week period. And some of those individuals are on payroll. They're returning their option form and going on payroll at, before the 10 week period.
Okay, hold on. Just hold it right there for a second, Tim. Jerry had his hand up and then John. So Jerry?
Yeah, Tim, the earlier point, are we in a position to make any reasonable forecast with regard to what the incoming might be for calendar year 2023? I mean, have we gone back to try and figure out if this is just an ongoing trend and next year for the same period of time we can expect 500? Or did the pandemic cause an unusual number? Do we have any rationale on which to base a forecast for next year?
Yeah, I mean, I've been looking at the numbers, and what I see since April of this year, and this is the flow of applications coming in, not necessarily based on their retirement date. From April so far through September, we're getting to be back more on trend on where we usually are, which is good news.
That's helpful.
Yeah. I mean, it's getting normal. I mean, we had 1 month that had a fairly healthy reduction, but all other months, you know, it was like, you know, two or three application differences, not huge, but we are getting back closer to trend. I think when we start looking at probably November and December volumes, because in November of December of 21, we were seeing 20% increases in applications coming in, you know, 20 to 25% over prior periods. But we're setting ourselves up to handle a higher volume.
That makes sense. This is a non-scientific observation, but, you know, if you read some of the stuff from the prior year, there were a lot of people that seemed to be, you know, unhooking from the workforce. They decided they had enough for retirement. They'd done their own calculations. And so we saw an increase in the number of people who were leaving. And then yet, interestingly, toward the end of, or the beginning of this current year, that started to reverse itself as people saw inflation eating into what their income might be. And they decided in some cases to change their minds, or perhaps in some cases not to leave.
Right.
So that's totally non-scientific. But I have this sense somehow that with the inflation going the way it is, we might actually see a reduction or more return to normalization of the retirement figures.
Yeah, you know, and a lot of times, as we've seen, you know, what the individuals sit back and they wait for the cost of living adjustment to come in. And, you know, in most cases, we're capped at a 3% cost of living adjustment, while as we're experiencing the cost, you know, the real cost of living adjustment for the Bay Area is way higher, and it may not be enough to to offset or be an enticement to retire, and they may elect to stay on longer. You know, a lot of times an individual that was going to retire in March and get the cost of living would have to wait till May or June to receive a similar benefit.
Okay, so thanks.
John,
my question is sort of a variation of Jerry's. If I'm recalling correctly, our active membership has been fairly steady. If the membership is steady, but the retirees are going up at a given point, obviously that won't continue. So my longer term question is, are we at any risk of overstaffing to prepare for what we're now dealing with, and finding ourselves in a circumstance where we have more staff support than we need?
You know, John, that's a good question.
Not to answer for Tim, but I'll take that risk.
You know, and it's not just that the team is working on, you know, on, in a lot of cases, applications. We have the new pension administration coming up.
Yes.
And beginning maybe as early as March, we're going to begin testing of the new system. And we're going to have to make sure we have skilled resources available to do the testing, report the results, because, you know, doing calculations and all of, you know, we can check all of that, but then flip over to the retiree side where we have 11,000 people on payroll, and those individuals, you know, if we were paying them X amount, payroll prior to converting to running payroll on the new system, X still better be X.
Yeah.
And, you know, and be consistent. We also all have tax reporting to do because of the bridging of loading system. The plan is where, again, it's subject to change. All tax reporting would come out of the new system. And so it's also loading and validating that data. You do not want to have incorrect, bad tax reporting taking place. We want to minimize every risk we can. But I think we're setting ourselves up for the future and to provide better service and faster service for our members.
Yeah, I think we've been chronically understaffed and part due to COVID and part due to the great resignation mentality and everything else that seems to be influencing employment decisions. So at least for the moment, I'm happy if we can bring in quality people and get them trained, and if we have good people and they're well trained, I have a sense that they will. We have needs that we can deploy them in, as we transition into the new pension administration system. Jerry,
now this is one department where I don't think they should necessarily seek to be running lean and mean.
Yeah.
And before you get off the prior slide, I don't want to draw too rosy a conclusion, but basically you're saying that there's been almost a 50% increase or improvement in the turnaround time in the past few months. Is that correct? Can I draw that conclusion?
Yeah, the turnaround time, and again, I'm going to, I'll talk about applications that we had all of the information to complete the calculation and get the individuals on payroll.
Yeah.
Right now we're on September 28th and we are halfway through July.
Yeah.
You know, we do have, you know, about 20 more applications. It'll be fewer after today, 20 retirement applications for July to process. Mm-hmm. And that would be August 10th. So the file just came in on September 10th. And so
I'm a big believer in seeing continuous improvement, especially in areas that, look as if they could benefit by that improvement. So not sitting back and being happy with what we've got right now, but I'm certainly, as one person, happy with the trend line that I'm seeing.
Yeah, I would agree with you. And thank you. The team is working hard, and the goal and objectives are very clear to them on what we want and need to do. And, the real goal, if we pushed it out, I would expect the August applications, we'll probably have those out, the ones that we can do, the ones that we have the documents for, and there isn't a holdup and they return the options, they could be on payroll at 8 weeks following their last paycheck.
Yeah, that would be a marked improvement, and it's a goal. It's an overarching goal. We're going to try to reduce that timeline further, but that's the progress we need to see.
Yeah, and I think it helps having individuals that are able to focus on those. They're highly skilled, highly talented, and they're able, to get it done and get it done quickly, and they don't have the interruptions or other distractions pulling them away that we previously had. So having the staff on hand is great to allow us to do this. And we expect some of the other ones that are handling the active membership inquiries to advance to that position shortly, so we'll even have more resources available to do that.
All right, excellent. Any other questions of Tim? It was a really great presentation, and I want to thank you. Bob Campbell, you had your hand up, I think. I could see it anyway. I think that's you.
Yeah, the system's not letting me bring my video on, so I'm not, that's why my video is not showing. But related,
we do have a picture of your front porch, though, at your house.
There we go. Now I'll start my video. Here we go.
Oh, there you are.
So I specifically want to listen in on this meeting. Mr. Watts had provided me a copy of a discussion that transpired at our committee meeting, which there was a significant amount of discussion regarding the timing of these applications and the involvement of the county, of which there was, I'll just say, a lot of questions and misunderstandings of what's going on. So I wanted to make myself available in case anybody here had those questions and wanted to ask me directly, and I'll respond to those as best I can. For example, the 30 days, we submit that within 30 days. That's part of our agreement. So we follow that agreement that we entered into a few years ago. With that, we are not putting in a new payroll system. We are putting in a finance system. So there is no change to the payroll activity, and there is no impact to Sisera from that at this point for the members. Now, we will be working with Henry down the road about facilitating payment to that, but we're not quite there yet. But at this time, I'd like to entertain any questions that anybody either from the audit committee or anywhere else has regarding the interaction and the relationship of us sending data to you in a timely fashion.
Any questions for Bob? And good morning, Bob. Nice to see you. Any questions for Bob or comments? I don't see any hands up, so you seem to have gotten ahead of it.
Great. I'll take this moment to just really thank the people that my staff works with and the feedback that I get from them. Christina, Henry, Tim, and different ones. They do a great job for you, at least in interacting with my office. So we really appreciate that. And I will extend to Gail that if there's concerns or anything related to the interaction with my office, you're always welcome to reach out to me directly, and we can have that conversation, make sure that your issues are addressed as timely as possible.
Excellent. Thank you, Bob. I mentioned at the top of the meeting call, I had an unrelated matter where I had an opportunity to interact with Bob, and it was really beneficial for me. So found him very accessible and very full of information I had no idea about. So really a great resource.
Thank you, Scott.
I don't see any hands, so thank you, Bob. That worked out well. All right, excellent. So it looks like are we concluded with item 8? I think we are. Thank you, Tim. I already lost him off my screen.
Oh, there you go. Thank you very much. Have a
great
day.
You are. Yeah, no, this was helpful. And I didn't mean to rush you along, but I kind of wanted to get to the next steps piece, because that, I think for a lot of us who read the packet, that was the most interesting thing is to go forward. So,
yeah, you got it. No problem whatsoever. Have a great
Excellent.
Day.
Thank you.
Keep on keeping on.
You got it.
Keep on keeping on.
Thanks. Bye.